together, but there's a little bit of animosity now and again.
Always animosity. Our relationship, people always ask if we're dating, but he's my boyfriend's best friend.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be weird.
But it's mostly like my brother now. They lived together when we started dating, and so he'd always be on all our dates.
Are we live now?
We are. We're live. We're recording.
I've seen episodes of Maury Povich that go that way.
Yeah, so no, it's just don't like, rule it out. It's just like Maury. It's just like Maury. I thought you were going to say like a 90s sitcom, but you went straight for
it. He went straight for it.
Jerry
yeah.
Springer or whatever. What is he still on the air?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Hey, Andrea.
Yeah.
Did you finally figure out the difference between an indirect free kick and a free kick?
I could fucking kill you. It's not that I didn't know the difference. I'm very aware of the difference.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. You give indirect free kicks for certain calls versus others, but what I'm saying is there are no indirect free kicks then in our league.
Yes, there is.
No, they're not, because a goal kick is not an indirect free kick.
All right, let me ask you a question. Let's say you pass it back to your goalkeeper.
This is insane. Yes.
Your goalkeeper picks it up.
That's a penalty.
Wrong.
No, it's a penalty.
It is not a penalty.
Yes, because he's in the box and he handled it.
It's an indirect free kick in
Why
the box.
Why would it be indirect versus a foul outside the box is direct? Why?
Because that's the rule. It's an indirect free kick in the box.
Even on, like, big field 11v11?
Yeah, that is exactly the rule. Yeah, it's not a penalty. It's an indirect free kick in the box.
Huh, I didn't know that.
You're welcome.
Have you been conceding penalties because of back passes?
I think she's probably
no.
yelling at the ref.
Ref, it's a penalty.
No, that's like, not what happened. No, first of all, wrong. I'm not 10. I don't pass it back to the keeper and he doesn't pick it up. Second of all, no.
He doesn't even have to do that.
In 7v7 and there was a foul outside the box and Steven gave a direct free kick. But okay. We were always under the impression that it's indirect in our 7v7 league. That's all.
I don't know why. Another rule. Let's say keeper picks it up, puts it back down to kick it, picks it back up again. What's that? Not, in the box.
It's, I don't know. So wait,
it's an indirect free
time
kick.
Time wasting? Bad?
No, it's you can't. Yeah, you can't do that. So it's an indirect
yeah,
free kick.
Technically,
yeah.
Both of those answers were correct.
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, pretty bad. Don't do
bad
that.
Bad soccer
yeah.
playing? I don't know how to help that person if yeah. they're just like, whoop. But wait, hold on a second.
Uh-huh.
You can put, I've seen keepers.
Oh, question. Let's say your
wait,
goalkeeper.
Wait, I have something to
yeah,
say,
yeah, you're right, you're right, you're right. I'm
so
sorry.
Listen,
it just came to mind.
Saves
yeah.
it.
Uh-huh.
Puts it down at his feet.
Yes.
Someone pressures him and he picks it back up.
Indirect free kick. To the
I have
opposition.
Seen keepers do that.
No, you can't put it back. You can't put it down, ready to kick, and then pick it back up. You can't do that.
So you're
that's
saying clasps
rule.
It, puts it down,
grabs it,
then
puts
picks
it down
it
to kick it,
and then
picks
yeah,
it back
that,
up.
That would
you,
be an indirect
it's an indirect free kick. You can't do
if
that.
If you drop it, that's a different.
Yeah,
kettle
it's different. Yeah, yeah.
So it's subtle. You have to be like yeah. decide whether it was a purposeful drop or an accidental drop.
This is a good one. Indirect free kick because a goal kick is indirect free kick. Let's say you take a goal kick. You smash it.
It goes in the goal. It doesn't count. It has to touch someone.
So what happens, though?
I don't know.
It's a corner kick.
What?
Yeah.
Because it went in the goal.
Yeah.
That's so stupid. The rules need to be rewritten. I'll be the one to do it.
I was getting quite mad last week because okay. she was like pressuring me for an answer.
No, I was mad because he kept being like, well, you just don't know the difference between an indirect and a direct. And I'm very aware of what
yeah,
indirect
I was also,
versus direct means.
I was also like, yeah, I didn't want to tell her on live. Podcast.
On live TV. I'm going to edit all this out. No one's going to hear how bad I didn't know this. Okay. Anyway, welcome to the Full Kit Wankers.
What's up? Welcome.
He's getting so much closer to getting that. Just on the money. We're going to get
no,
the
no,
timing
I,
right,
I
baby
like
girl.
The pause. I like
no,
the pause.
No, I don't. It's not good. Anyway, this week we're joined by our second accented guest in 2 weeks.
It's a streak.
Blessed. England
back
has blessed
to back.
Us. Back-to-back British folk on the show. Welcome, Chris Hennage.
Hennage, yes.
Hennage.
Yes, Hennage.
We
I
went
said it
further
right.
north this time.
He's a football writer. Yes. He's a Geordie.
Yes.
Yes. He's from Newcastle, just like my people, as I like to say.
That's the party, as Keeney said.
That's
where
it's
at.
I heard that characterization of Newcastle.
If you had to compare Newcastle to an American place, where a city, what would you compare it to?
Pittsburgh.
Whoa.
That's actually really good.
Quite yeah. industrial.
Thoughtful.
Yeah, quite passionate. Not necessarily what it once was. It's got a bit more modernized now, but then it does love a party as well, and New Jersey's a state, so probably a little tinge of New Jersey as
yeah,
well.
I heard Essex is more Jersey, though, if we're gonna...
Yeah, that's probably fair. I'm thinking more Bruce Springsteen sort of
Rough and Tumble.
Yeah, we write about turnpikes. We love it. Just aggressive.
That's very good to know. So now we know you're from Newcastle. What's your background in soccer?
So I've been writing about football for, God, 10 years now. Mm. A long time. Started when I was 12. Can you believe it?
Wow.
I wish.
No, you are 22, honey. So am I.
It's a long time ago, 22. but no, yes, been writing about football for 10 years. Was ESPN's Northeast correspondent for a bit and then freelanced and did US soccer for about a similar sort of stretch. Met a girl in Virginia, dated her, and then that transitioned me into what I do now.
To dating her?
No longer with her, no.
I was going to say, is that your fiance now?
Yes.
No,
that's y'all marry?
My fiance is a Brooklyn native.
Very good. Congrats to her. Good choice. Yeah, we love that. Who's your team? So you're a Newcastle supporter?
Yes. No, he's Sunderland.
Yeah.
Till he dies.
The thing is, though, my family is split right down the middle.
Really? You
that's
too.
Just yeah. like our previous guest from she's Evertonian, but yes. half and half, Liverpool and Everton. How do you do that?
I can relate because it's just difficult because we're just born in different places, but we're all of the same family. So I grew up hearing about Roker Park and Sunderland and Kevin Phillips, but it just never really stuck with me because my dad was Newcastle.
It's probably easier for you than it is for her since Sunderland have been twice relegated and your team's doing mediocre versus her team was always mediocre and always losing too.
We are the bald man with a couple of strands of hair and a comb, whereas they are just completely bald.
Exactly.
And John Joe Shelby.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll never forget that, like, I watched Sunderland Till I Die and I was incredibly depressed at the end, and I spoke to a friend of mine who's from Manchester, and he said it was the funniest thing he'd ever seen.
That's awful.
Wow. I was like, why is this funny? But to him, he was like, it's just hilarious. I don't understand why. Maybe it's just a dark sense of humor.
Maybe.
I was like,
privilege manifests in horrible ways. Yeah. The entitlement of being a City/United fan. That's not a Stockport fan, I assume.
Nice City fan.
Hey, there you go.
They'd been relegated too in his lifetime.
Yeah, but that's so far away now. He knows it's never coming back
that's
either.
True.
It's like,
that's
I'm
true.
Never having to move into that apartment again.
That's
I'm
right.
now living in a massive condo.
He's it's moved true. On up.
Yeah, he sucks anyway. Anyway. how exactly did you get into football writing? I mean, you obviously probably played growing up. You're a big fan.
Yeah, so I played and then I went to university and did journalism. And I found my high school yearbook last year. And I had written in there that I wanted to do that, to write about football.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, which I can't remember writing, but apparently I did. and then just straight out of uni, just went to freelancing. Just anything that I felt could kind of get me a foot in the door. Because the Premier League, from a media perspective, it's quite closed door.
Oh, it's tough to break in there.
Associated with a paper or someone. And I didn't have that. And Newcastle at the time didn't have a lot of opportunities. So that's kind of how I fell into US soccer as well, because it's the total opposite. Everyone's like, come in, take a seat. Do you want to interview the captain? Like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me. So it was a decision after uni to just try and stay employed, and US soccer and English soccer felt like a good way to do it.
Mm. That makes a lot of sense. It's interesting that you say that, because it does feel like US soccer, even to this day, we're going to be on the 25th year of MLS this coming year, and it's still pretty open. Like, we just like will direct message players, like established players, and they'll just be like, sure, here's my email, I'll come speak publicly about things, and like there's really no consequence to it. I mean, yeah, we have a small audience, it's not like it's gonna splash all across the news, but like we could never get Raheem Sterling on the show. Like, we'd have to go through like 16 publicists and like agents and this whole very tight-knit community. It's a lot more
I challenging. Think fear rules some of that as well. I think there's a little bit of fear if I speak to someone in England, it might be twisted. I always feel a little bit awkward criticizing the press back home because I was part of it for a while.
Mm.
And I don't think it's as bad as it is, but it's also not as good as some of those people would have you believe. And Sterling is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, great example.
He does anything. Like, he goes to...
Well, he's currently really in the press. We're going to talk about it.
And arguably for the first time, it's like legitimate criticism.
Yeah.
But that makes all of the previous stuff totally null and void. Like,
I know.
Are you familiar with Greg's the Bakers? I don't know if that's really transitioned over
here. Greg's the Bakers, no.
It's kind of like a small, well, I say small, it's a chain bakery that sells English stuff that's full of meat and stuff you probably shouldn't eat on a regular basis. But he had a newspaper story of him going there as if like, oh, why is Raheem Sterling on 150 grand a week and eating here? It's like, well, I don't know, maybe... Tom Brady wants to buy a Subway now and again. Like, it's fine. There's no issue.
Specifically, he wouldn't, but yes, a lot of people would. That's yeah. True. Yeah, specifically, Tom's got his own chef, and he follows TV 12. But yeah. I'm a big Patriots fan. It's fine.
Oh, there you go. Then.
There you go. But yes, they would pick on him for driving, like buying his mom the car. Remember the Phil Foden like side by side, and it was like they both did the exact same thing, but one was characterized as like this sweet gesture to his mom, and the other one's like lavishly, ostentatiously spending his money. Exactly. Absolutely. Have you seen the sport and its coverage kind of grow since you started working in the US?
It's become a lot more influenced by fans, I think, on sort of grander scale. I instantly in my head, Arsenal fan TV jump out. Because 10 years ago, guys like that weren't getting much. Like, I was just coming in, I'd say, as that was starting to become sort of relevant and seen as valid.
Yeah.
And now it's got such a bigger platform and it's so much more diverse than it was, because I remember sitting in some meetings where some of those fan creators weren't interested in doing tactical stuff. They were like, no, people come to us for our passion. They don't come. And now you see Arsenal Fan TV has a tactic show. The Red Men TV, who I know pretty well, they have a tactic show. So it's not even that they've just come into the space. They've evolved with the space as well.
Yeah.
And things like The Athletic and all that.
No, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's an odd time, because if I was coming out of uni now, I'd feel a lot more confident about finding work, because there is a lot more opportunities and you can just start your own thing. The problem is that there are also a lot more people doing that.
Huge
so
saturation.
So easy to get lost in the sea of it all, which is difficult.
So many.
How does that compare to what you find here in the U.S.? Do you think it's the same sort of mediums that are being they're given the opportunity, or do you see it going in a different direction?
I think it's a lot harder to make money here.
Yes.
It's not as much money.
It's tough, because there's only so long you can justify the passion of it for why you do it. Because I want to buy a house. I want to have a life. I don't want to look back in 30 years and tell any potential kids, no, but you don't understand. I was at MLS Cup 5 years in a row.
Yeah, so here are
my press passes.
Yeah.
Now you need to go out and work and earn some money so this family can eat. It's difficult as well, though, because I think at the same time, in England, you can justify the low salaries because everybody wants to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's that much depth of expertise here.
Mm-hmm.
I see it. I definitely see it. Some of the best people in digital stuff are Americans. I think of Scott Sandelow at FC Bayern. He's brilliant. Christian Niari, who just left to go to DAZN. Those guys are brilliant at what they do. But I don't see them being compensated for that. And I think that's where things might have to change, is that I think clubs, leagues, whoever, they're going to have to start seeing a value in the people who produce this stuff. Because when it's
absolutely
bad, it's awful. I saw a tweet from the Colorado Rapids today of...
Yes. Wait, is it the light touches?
We talked about this. Yeah.
We had a little group chat with my boyfriend, and he sent it to us. He goes, so not the field?
Literally, the concession stand.
That's exactly what I said.
What, everything the light touches?
I was like,
touches.
The restrooms?
What? You guys, could you have taken a sunnier picture then? My God.
No one sells t-shirts like we do. Great, but you're bottom of the league. Like, stuff like that, it doesn't reflect well on the clubs. And I've said to the few clubs I've spoken to, you have more access than anybody. You should really be killing this.
Because
you control the narrative as well. You don't
look
have to
at,
put
like,
it out there.
Chelsea today tweeted the most savage, as a Spurs fan, they're like, oh, check out the top 14. They like included 14 just so they could people would see that we were in 14th
Yikes.
Place. Savage.
Yeah, that is.
Or like AS Roma in English is admin. They're so good. Like, I don't even care about Roma at all. Why do I follow them?
Exactly. It's when you care about more than the club, that's when they're doing something right. Yeah, it's funny. I was just going through emails the other day, and I was asked to evaluate the 24 under 24 for MLS. And I forget if he might have been bottom of my list, but Brandon Vincent, who is no longer in soccer, not because he's bad, because he thought his career prospects with a Harvard degree, I think it was Harvard or... No, Stanford, sorry, were better than staying in soccer.
Yeah.
That's not great. That's really not
that's
great.
That's not good at all.
It's not what you want. I mean, it's great that these kids have educations, but it's not what you want. Anyway, what is your favorite thing about covering soccer in the U.S., and then what's your least favorite thing about it?
It's my favorite question.
It's a good question. It's a great question. The openness has to be the best bit.
Because you
can talk to players about anything. I've sat and had chats with Bradley Wright Phillips that are a lot more candid than anything I've had back home, because the player in England gets brought out to you, they've been changed, they've had all this, the emotion has sort of trickled away, whereas with him it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes after the game, he's still in that headspace a little bit. And equally, there's a few English guys who've come over. Josh Shims just came over from Southampton.
That's right.
And he was blown away when
at Red Bulls, right?
Yeah, and he was blown away when he's like, where are you from? And I'm like, well, Newcastle. Oh, yeah. I said, you played up there, right? And instantly, we started having a conversation that we're not having in Southampton because he's ushered into a room with a press person who will sit over your shoulder and say, you can't ask that, you can't do that. It has to be in English if it's a foreign player, all this kind of stuff. So that's the best bit of it, absolutely. The worst bit, I think, is probably what I said. The money is not great. It's hard to get opportunities. It's hard to get opportunities that pay more specifically. I'm not a fan of seeing colleagues having to work second jobs, third jobs, because then you're not focusing on what you're doing.
Right.
And yet, saying that, the quality is still really high. The guys with the athletic have benefited from the fact that they're dedicated to it now. They don't have to think, well, I have to do this delivery job or I have to do this. And when you give them that focus, this is true of soccer on or off the field, when you give a player or a person that focus, they can curate something much better than if they have to think about 50 other things that are going on in their life.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's interesting. We had Alex Mwiel on the show last year in the off season, and he was extremely candid. Like you said, he just was very like convivial and told us like funny jokes. I'm sure that it was nothing inappropriate, but like we got to actually know what he really thinks, and it felt very unfiltered in that way, and that's really fun. I feel like American players still have the liberty to, maybe not the highest profile, maybe not Christian Pulisic, like people can't just spout off whatever, but they do feel like they're a little more free and like they can own their own narrative a little bit better than in the end. Like you said, the U.S. is less likely to care and reprint stuff in like and take it out of context and throw them under the bus, whereas, like you said, if someone says the wrong thing in England, and like Raheem Sterling, it could turn into a whole other situation for him.
And you see that confidence manifest in the players, though. I think of Alejandro Bedoya grabbing that microphone and saying Ed Gunn violence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was wild. That was awesome. I forgot about that. Great. Good for him.
I could be wrong. I don't think of many instances where English players have done that as passionately and as strongly as that. They've had messages, they've had identities.
Yeah, the company does.
But to react in that moment and do it like that, knowing that he's going to get flack, knowing that people are going to say, oh, Second Amendment and all this kind of stuff and all that, that to me is part of the benefit, is that there's a trust in themselves and in the brand that they're doing because they've got that confidence.
Yeah. Also, though, it comes with not being an A-lister, right?
Yeah.
Like, that must, our A-listers in the United States can't do anything. So that's what it's like to be a Premier League football player at the highest level, right? You're an A-lister. You can't go. That's why a lot of them like coming here as a lot more retirement, because they can just come here and like Henri used to take the path to Red Bull Arena, and no one would bother him.
That was also just
even the fans.
For a while,
no, he did it though.
He did it, but at first it was totally a publicity stunt.
I don't think it was all as cynical as you're making it out to be, hater. But anyway, let's move on. Since Steven feels like being gossipy, let's talk about full kit snitching. Well, we were just talking about this in the beginning, but a federal judge granted the U.S. women's national team plaintiffs a class action suit status. So that's all I know. It's good. It means he basically, we were talking about this before we started recording, but basically means that he's granted them, like, they're moving forward with it.
Yeah.
And it's gonna cover three classes, I think. Dating back to 2015. Yeah, well, there's been waves of different players that have, since the suit was filed.
Like retroactive cases.
And Chris, you said you did some reading on this, so I would love to hear from you.
Oh, right. Yeah,
so from what I can ascertain, the judge essentially poo-pooed US soccer's case and said there's no grounds for this. And the thing is, it's so easy to get emotive in this kind of scenario because we see the human beings it impacts.
Yeah.
Just look at the numbers. Just look at how much money these players have lost out on, the fact they don't get charter flights. On a fundamental level, their federation has failed them. And this is the same federation that organised a victory tour, that was delighted when they picked up all of these trophies and they tour around the country and inspire girls of all ages to go and pursue the same dream. It's a little bit disgusting. It's a sticky and smelly situation. And it amazes me that US soccer has even allowed it to get this far. There's an arrogance, I think, and a little bit of ignorance attached to that, that they thought, yeah, you know what, this is just a bunch of players with a couple of lawyers. We'll bat this away, no problem. And I think they're getting their comeuppance now, if I'm brutally honest about it.
I like where your head's
Love
at.
It.
I think that they're the most behind of anyone in this era of just like, hey, women are people. I mean, I know that this is just a new revelation to a lot of the world, but they're not just, I think there was a thought process about women's soccer that it was like a fun, like Olympic style rough and tumble, like, group of gals that just get together once in a while and they happen to win. But they're professional soccer players and they deserve the same treatment as everybody else.
Who is this judge? We need this judge on the...
Who is this judge?
On the NASL versus USSF case, too.
Oh, boy.
All the other USSF ass
Steven, don't start your pro-rel truth or shit with me right now.
I will right now. Time for your pro-rel judge.
I put your
assigned to all these cases.
I put your Cosmopolitan anti-fascist sticker on my computer just for you and
Thank you.
Inferna.
Good job. Shout out, Pat.
Shout out, Pinferna. Let's move on. There was drama in the England camp, and Raheem Sterling has been left off the roster for the upcoming game against...
Montenegro.
That's right.
Totally watching that.
Euro qualifier, so it's not nothing.
Yes. No, it's not.
But it's not important.
Let's go, Montenegro.
For fighting with Joe Gomez. I have a lot of questions about this. So I saw their little scuffle this Sunday, Liverpool City. I wouldn't call it more than a scuffle.
No,
I got in a bigger fight with a girl last night in indoor, but okay. I mean, they were just in each other's face.
You really just compare that to a rec league scuffle?
That's what I'm saying. It was rec league. It was nothing. It was not bench clearing. We have a bench clearing scuffle coming up in this gossip.
Oh, right. We do.
It wasn't
that's
bench clearing. Yeah. It required little to no effort to separate them. It just wasn't that big of a deal. I don't know what Joe Gomez said to Raheem Sterling or vice versa. But apparently, at practice, it got more serious. And then there's been pictures of a big scratch on Joe Gomez's eye. And there was a threat that maybe Raheem Sterling choked him. I don't know. Do you have more information? You're more in tune with British media than I am.
Yeah. It seems to be a massive spillover from Sunday. And it was instigated by Sterling. That's the problem.
Oh, shit. So, angry little man.
So it's at like first, it's in the streets, yeah, it was first man. As has Gomez said something or, you know, dug it in. But it doesn't seem like that's the case. It seems like as if Raheem started this. Just sound very played out.
Let it go, Sterling. Let it go.
Only been a couple days, but you weren't even close to winning that game. I mean, they're mad because the twice.
Yeah.
Still the best thing that's happened in 2019 is that gif of Pep Guardiola, like, screaming to the heavens.
That's going
to
haunt him for the rest of
his life. I love it so much. I've watched it so many times. Anyway, I don't know what happened. People are upset that Raheem's been left off the roster. Liverpool fans are going at him in the media. There was this weird, I can't even quote it. Something like about
he needs a rest day.
You know? Oh, I saw a meme that was like, what if Mo Salah had done this to him? Like, what would you guys say then? And it was like, it would be weird if Joe Gomez turned up at the Egypt's national team practice.
That's a vendetta.
Yeah.
It's like,
I've flown
God.
To Cairo to bully you. But no, I think honestly, you know, the
meet
best
me way, on the tracks, yeah, Salah.
The best way to look at it is you can't justify workplace violence. Mm-mm. Yes, it was kind of funny. I get that. There's a hilarity to always got a scratch. It's a little bit salacious. But this is the first time where I think genuinely you can say, yes, Raheem Sterling deserves some kind of punishment for this. Because this is not good. Reportedly, he was late for, I think, a team meeting or training as well, which was not great. So it's difficult because we've spent so long fighting against the narrative that, like, just let Raheem live. And then he does this, Raheem, not now.
Yeah, we've been backing you.
Bro, bad timing.
Your son has a hell of a shot at 2 years old, and I've been watching him grow. I'm backing you, Raheem.
You want your son to see this?
You want your son to see this? I don't know. I think he's just frustrated. I'm sure
he's just frustrated. Yeah.
What a weird season City
are
having.
It takes a mental toll on you.
Because any other year, they would be like huge front runners. We always talk about this. We say, like, these two teams right now are like setting the craziest standard for points that you have to have by a certain point to even be considered in the race.
Yeah. Because everyone's pretty much out now.
Yeah, everyone's out. And by like, Leicester maybe are in.
Maybe. They're keeping pace. They're the ones. Yeah.
But like, you know, even by October, it was already like they were setting a precedent and everyone's freaking out. And Spurs, like, we're never going to make top four, which we probably won't. But by October, like, you used to be like, just warming up, shifting the gears in place. And now you have to be ready to go. It should be, Christmas doesn't even matter anymore. It's October where you should be established.
How far back do you think that's true? Like, how many years now?
I only recall the last couple of years, like, where they keep having record-setting points seasons.
Because, like, I feel like every year after year, there was always a record-setting point season.
Well, Leicester was an anomaly that they deserved, but everyone else was just having a bad moment.
It was
a
drop the ball, kind of. Whisper it.
You don't have to whisper it. It's our most famous thing we've done, other than losing Champions League, which is so
I like
fun.
Poch, but he kind of dropped the ball that season.
He drops a lot of. He's apparently in danger of being fired. We'll talk about it.
Wrong move.
I agree. Let's move on. U.S. teen Matteo Ritaccio signed a professional contract with Liverpool. I have never heard of this person. I mean, I'm not scuffed, so Adam Belt's like, sorry. But I've never heard of this. He's a Long Islander. He's a New Yorker. He
probably has his whole bio ready.
He's already in the Liverpool Academy and had an Italian passport. That's why it was easy for him to go over there. We'll see.
Oh, okay. You've got to have an Italian passport.
Yeah, this kid sounds like he's from Suffolk County or something.
Did he grow up playing in any of our clubs? He was discovered in a U.S. training camp for Edit That 13.
Maybe.
And scouted over to go over to Liverpool. And now he's been signed fully for
A lot of big clubs on Long Island. For sure. There are a lot of camps, too. So
how exciting. Eintracht Frankfurt's player, David Abraham, was so frustrated with the opposing team's manager, Freiburg's Christian Streich, for getting in the way of his retrieving the ball during a throw-in.
Uh-huh.
He, kind of did set a pick, essentially, to get in the way.
He had his arms behind his back, too.
He set a full fucking pick. And so he literally bowled him over. Like, this older man just... Did you see this video?
No, I haven't.
What?
I know. She
bowled
really
an older manager over, and the whole bench, it cleared an entire bench. And, the game was almost
You
really...
just don't do that, man. It's not...
You couldn't retrieve... Irretrievable
elders.
Game.
Yeah, you couldn't do that.
Also, just like, what the fuck? This isn't UFC. That's a fireable offense. That's insane.
7-game ban.
That's right.
And a 25,000 euro fine.
Nice.
There was a beautiful quote in Bild that said he had apologized on all levels, which sounded so wonderfully German. Didn't explain what it was. He had apologized on all levels.
All the levels.
What's
lower
that?
Level, mid-level, high-level apology.
Verbal flowers.
You have to phone the family?
Oh my God. I just don't understand. I've been frustrated with the coach before, usually when they're screaming annoying shit, opposing team's coach, especially in girls soccer, especially an older man, especially just, there's a lot of factors. But I've never taken my aggression out on them. It seems in a professional level, at this level, maybe no, guys. Anyway.
I'm having flashbacks to Alan Pardew and David Myler on the sidelines when he headbutted.
But anyway. Yeah. Estudiantes de La Plata returned home after 13 years away from their historic stadium and celebrated with a really cool hologram lion.
Dude, the dopest.
Some Harry Potter shit right there.
God.
Triwizard Tournament? I don't know. We should do that here. We don't have the money. We should start paying people better and then we can start.
We don't have the facilities.
No
for
facilities.
Gunnosaurus stalking the top of the Emirates. Just shaking his head at Granit Xhaka and disappointment. Another
Xhaka!
Wayward pass.
Oh, Xhaka's on his way out in January. That's another little rumor.
Right.
As all these players do, they just go to Italy. They're like, I'll be accepted here for my shithousery.
You'll fit the pace.
Talk, he might go to Newcastle.
That would be insane. Yeah. You shouldn't want him.
It depends. I mean, he was...
He fits their style of play.
At Gladbach,
trash.
He was...
Whoa.
Trash. Whoa. Don't call them trash like that, Stephen.
Are we not above you in the league at this precise
Who
moment?
Who isn't? What are you saying? Congratulations. Spurs have no ideas. They keep passing laterally.
But he was good at Gladbach. His passing worked well in transition.
He makes the worst tackles I've ever seen. Just reckless decision making.
Hold on. Let's talk about this line, though. Estudiantes de La Plata. Come on.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to talk about the lion that.
Again?
The hologram.
No, we're moving on. We only have
so
25
cool.
minutes to finish this
episode. Did you watch the whole thing?
It sort of stalked it and then seemed to attack the crowd a little
bit.
It scared the shit out of me for a second.
It looks like the Quidditch World Cup.
I wish
the beginning
I were there.
With the fucking, it's fine, Harry Potter. Anyway.
How's Borussia Dortmund going to top that? Or, you know.
By winning a game. So, listen, I don't like to talk about... This is slow news day when I wrote this, but Nicolas Otamendi showed all his tattoos, and he's clad entirely in his favorite TV show tattoos all over his body, including Breaking Bad, The Vikings, and Peaky Blinders.
Whoa. It's TV shows?
TV shows.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he's bad on the field, but great tattoos.
A little bit more respect for
respect.
Him now. Yeah.
Wave. Continue.
I said at the time I wouldn't do that because I'd have Mad Men and 90 Day Fiancé next to each other. On the back,
I saw your tweet.
Are you into that 90 Day Fiancé? Oh,
I saw your tweet.
Yeah.
Just, oh gosh.
No one needs to see that.
Yeah, my guilty pleasure. Yeah, you don't want that on my body.
It's just very teenage as well. It's like,
well, these guys are stunted. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't have lives. They just played soccer. Like, Messi doesn't have human. Emotion, you just play soccer, is it?
I'm trying to convince some friends of mine to start a 90 Day Fiancé podcast.
There you go. Yes.
Yeah,
well, up for
okay. Yeah. Great. Why don't you worry about this one first, and then we'll fucking get going.
It's not even the worst tattoo at City, though. Leroy Sané has himself on his back. In what world do you think I need a picture of myself on my back?
Well, we
does
talk
he,
about
does he
what's
have himself
name?
With a fro or with like dread?
Yeah, I think so.
But Mauro Icardi has not his kids on his calves.
Oh god,
that's
Mauro's
right.
A tough
yeah.
one.
I think that might be the worst one.
That might be the worst.
The kids
one.
Of the man he scorned.
Yeah,
his best friend.
His best friends, wives, kids. That he's now the stepdaddy too. Anyway, let's talk about it.
The story never gets old.
Together. The yacht is classic.
It's a Twitter account waiting to happen. You know those sort of like pictures that followed unfortunate events.
I'm just waiting for like.
I love that. Or like out of context yacht pictures. 100%. Yeah, those
I'm just waiting for like
so
his wife to go after Lautaro Martinez or something. You know.
Yeah. God. It's a good chance. She's an agent. She's gonna need clients. She
Martinez
needs,
is young.
That's right.
He's killing it.
Cardi's not starting.
Cardi's on the bench.
That's right. That's right. Anyway, UEFA is looking to host the 2024 Champions League final in the USA.
Oh, fuck that.
In New York specifically.
Fuck off.
Yeah,
that's a weird choice. This all ties into the recent UEFA decision to grant the U.S. media rights for its club soccer properties, including Champions League and Europa League, whatever no one cares about, to CBS Corp and Univision Communications from 2021 to 2024. So I'm assuming Bleacher Report loses their coverage starting in 2021, which is fine because they messy, y'all.
I mean, that sounds great for CBS and Univision. Great. Mm-hmm. Contract acquisition.
I don't have CBS All Access. I don't want to get another
Univision.
Thing. I have Fubo because of you.
You're welcome.
Ugh, guys, anyone get Disney Plus yet? It's so fucking good.
I love it. Yeah, have you seen Mandalorian?
Not yet, I'm waiting.
It's
I have
so
to
good.
I'm going to like sit down with my thoughts and
it's
watch Mandalorian.
So good.
Baby.
Would you want the Champions League final here?
No, fuck off. Aww. No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean,
against all that. No,
I just think it's weird. It's like when they moved the Copa Libertadores final to Madrid.
That just opened Pandora's box, man. Everyone
Pandora's
else now.
Box?
Yeah,
what,
because...
to hosting in Alaska? What do you mean?
Well, probably.
I hate you, Steven. I'm moving on.
Fucking hate it.
We were just talking about Xhaka. He was stripped of his captaincy and his start after his outburst at the fans, which is why he's probably going to get moving.
Yeah,
but,
I guess that makes sense. It's only... Yeah.
And then I started reading this next sentence.
I also don't blame him, though, for telling them to go forth.
I don't blame him either.
I don't totally either. He could have done it in a classier way.
What would you advocate?
Yeah,
I would advocate a wait until you've calmed down.
Just that. Just the V's. Just
like a Twitter outburst instead?
There are post-match interviews where you can say you can either get behind your team or you can boo your team, but then I don't know what you expect to happen if you're booing your team.
Passive-aggressive.
Yeah, well,
I'm not hurt. I'm just disappointed.
Yes, exactly. That's how you get... Women are masters at this. We don't have to be violent
outbursts.
Sounds
very manipulative.
And it works. Ronaldo was subbed off early for Dybala in his most recent Juventus appearance.
Because he was shit.
And he stalked off down the tunnel early. He was so mad. And I guess...
He was the worst player
on
the field,
this is his second time like throwing a little temper tantrum for being subbed off.
Well, this is the earliest he's been subbed off, too.
Okay, he's like 100. I don't know what...
Do you think he's on the decline?
No, I just think it's like expected that once you hit a certain age, like I don't think Rooney's out here mad that he was subbed off. Like,
no, I watched a bit of that game. He was absolute shit.
Again, if you're not performing, that's the way it is. Just because you're a star doesn't mean you get to stay. You should care about your team more than you care about yourself. That's the point.
Yeah, and I think as well, having watched his relationship with Real Madrid for years, I don't know what really pushed Juventus to do this. I get that they want to win Champions League and they thought this is the best way to do it.
This is the year to do it.
He does it year on year and he's got this history with the competition. But you just know that the second he feels undervalued, he wants validation instantly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he's only getting older. And he's, as much as I admire his evolution from being tricky winger that does these things to central striker that scores goals,
right,
he's just going to get more and more in between the posts. And then you have to get the other 10 guys on the field to counteract that and carry him. And is it worth it, really? I mean, it didn't seem to do a lot last season. I don't know if it'll do a ton this season. Hmm. So it's a massive outlay as well. You can sell as many shirts as you want and, you know, noodle rights and all this kind of stuff.
It's true.
I'm sure they're making the money off of him now.
Just off the Ronaldo jersey, I'm sure.
This is the last year for them, I think, to have a chance at the Champions
League.
It's
so funny how these teams like Juventus, these super stacked teams, or PSG or City just like never managed to win Champions League. Like, they get to the end, or they get to almost the end. Well, City are 2 years in a row at the quarters.
Yeah.
Something like that. But I was listening to rumors that Pep might go replace Kovac at fucking Bayern Munich.
Again? Yeah. So back to Germany?
Yeah.
He did a great job.
That he's, like, fed up with his city. He's like, I can't do Kyle Walker anymore. I gotta go.
It was more harmonious as well, because he did brilliant stuff, and they seem to appreciate him for the most part, whereas here he's got this rival in Klopp, and everyone's like, well, you've got all the money. Is there really a huge achievement?
Yeah.
There is, obviously, because you have to build a team.
One back-to-back leagues.
I mean, I'm just saying, I saw the guy have a lot of beers at Bayern, you know, having a good time. Have you seen him have a few pints in England?
A lot of people are saying
Not
he
me.
Needs to go That's somewhere true. Where he can prove that he can do it without all the cash at his disposal. Like, where he could take a team
maybe 10 years
Newcastle and actually make them good because of his tactics, as opposed to just buying the most expensive players, throwing the best players in the world together, and then instilling his tactics.
His stock is too high for that right now.
My thing is, though, like, are you... This is actually a question. It's not a judgment. But, like, are you the best coach in the world because of your tactics or because of your because of who you buy? Like, because of your auspicious... like, purchasing skills.
I don't,
is the best coach in the world supposed to be someone, or manager, supposed to be someone that could take a seven-a-side, like a rec league, and make them amazing because of his tactics? Or is it, because we've been given two different ideas.
That's true.
You know, is he a front office man? Like, what are we exactly proud of here?
I think
he spent £40 million on Kyle Walker. Like, again, he did jump in goal this week, last week, and we will talk about it.
I think that depends on the club structure, right? I mean, not every manager has the ability to, you know, say, I want this player, I want that player. Some clubs have technical directors that take care of all that stuff for you.
That's true.
So it's
most,
like,
of them do. But what I'm saying is, like, he still is, at the end of the day, making decisions.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But there's other clubs that don't. Like, let's say Tottenham Hotspur, right? Poch doesn't exactly have the last say in who to buy, who to sell. So it's...
And he might look at Rafa Benitez and say he went to Newcastle and didn't get much praise for doing a pretty marvelous job there, all things considered. So
I think the manager should just solely be looked at as a manager, man management, team management, and simple as that. As far as
just for tactics.
If he wins Champions League, he'll shut everybody up. That's the
problem. Right, that's the problem.
But he hasn't.
Yeah.
If you look at, I'd say Juventus have just been unlucky that when they got to the final, they faced Barcelona the first time, who were ridiculous. Second time, they face a Real Madrid side that just turned up and clicked their fingers and won. With Pep, he's overthought a lot of these games. Mm-hmm. That's his problem, is that you can see the Bielsa in him and where that influenced him, because there's almost this fear of, like, I don't study so much because I'm smart. I study because I'm an idiot and I need to learn. That's kind of how Bielsa rationalizes it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can see that in Pep, that he thinks so much, he thinks, no, I have to consider every aspect.
Yeah,
and you do too much. And it gets to the point where you know, sort of like you're trying to read three books at once. You can't really keep a narrative in your own head, and you make a stupid mistake and someone takes you out of it.
Yeah, he's also been unlucky this season as far as injuries go. They've plagued the back line, which was not very strong to begin with.
Yeah, Otamendi. My God, Otamendi.
I can't. Anyway, we have our not cool moment of the week. We'll get to City.
What's that?
After enduring abuse from Dynamo Kyiv fans, getting frustrated and punting the ball towards them, Shakhtar player Tyson was sent off in tears.
Yeah.
First of all, fuck that ref for sending him off.
Yeah.
Second of all, the players tried to comfort him, opposing players from his own team, because he was obviously very distraught from being racially abused, but they should have all walked off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
No one gets to watch this game if we're all going to be shitty people. That's it.
Same with Balotelli.
Yes.
Yeah. Same.
Just let's have some solidarity, right, motherfuckers.
I hope whoever's listening to this, if you happen to be the next player to experience racial abuse, just, like, get your team together, walk off.
Walk
you
off, know, just, guys.
Just stop playing
soccer.
Because
it's the only thing that's going to get UEFA to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then, they're like, damn, we can't
profit off
this shit
anymore. Any governing body to do anything about it. Let's just, you know,
the mentality, I think, is flawed as well. Because it implies that racist abuse is akin to if I stub my toe and I shout a swear word.
Right.
It's not.
No.
Racist abuse is ingrained in you.
Mm-hmm.
You are racist at your core if you're doing that kind of stuff.
And you cannot be, like, you can be rehabilitated, I guess, but, like, this is not the place for that.
You
just don't get to come.
You can, but the idea that, oh, well, you've done it once, it's a three-stage protocol. No. To be frank, fuck that. If you've done it once, you're racist. So either you leave or the players leave. Take your choice.
Yeah, I'm 100% down with that. Let's go to jolly old England.
For England! For home! And for the prize!
Where our guest is from. I don't do a good accent, it's fine. Okay, Watford played Norwich City and snapped their first win of the season.
Yeah.
What happened in Norwich? They beat Man City and then they just kind of stopped playing soccer.
Injuries.
They were injured when they played Man City. They had like 11 non-starters on the field.
Yeah, I think they were able to sort of glue the wheels on for that week, and then ever since it's just...
They just came off.
It's tough because the thing is, Norwich, when they were in the Championship, financially were screwed. They had to sell James Maddison. They had to sell players just to balance the books. And so the money they'll get from this season and then parachute payments if they go down will keep them safe, which means they can't go crazy in the transfer market like other teams have done.
Yeah.
And so when you get a few injuries, Patrick Roberts isn't playing because I just don't think they seem to rate him defensively. It just means that they're not robust enough for the league, which is tough because they're a wonderful team and a quite a nice story in general.
I loved them. Yeah. I had such a good time at that City game. I really enjoyed it. What a time to be alive. Chelsea took on Crystal Palace. Pulisic scored his fifth goal in 3 games, but also picked up a hip injury. So here we all are.
Yeah. Yikes.
What a hot streak for him, though.
Yeah.
How long is it going to be out for? Is it just like
I think it's just
days?
One of the it seems like one of those like nagging injuries. So I think he'd been nursing it. He'll be fine. The doctor
where did you guys sit on the whole he's not being played because he's American thing?
I wanted people to shut up about it, but now I feel like I was wrong. He's really good and he's doing well. So I don't know. Maybe I've always found him to be like slightly overrated, but I'm wrong. He's doing great. So I was wrong. I didn't want him to come play for Chelsea. I thought he would never see minutes. So I was keeping myself like at arm's length from hoping that Pulisic would be our prince who was promised.
To paraphrase Michael Scott, you weren't ready to get hurt again.
I'm never ready to get hurt again.
I just feel like there's a lot of pressure on Pulisic as well.
There's
a lot of pressure.
He's carrying it pretty well, though.
Yeah.
Taking Giroud to football games and just...
Yes.
He's like, seems to be lads with everyone on the team. They
he's
seem to really
friends.
Like...
Look
making
him.
Friends, yeah. Getting weird, stupid, Messi tattoos. Like, him and Messi have very similar vibes where they like both look kind of like little skinny dorks, but they get all these tattoos to try to like make it look like they're ballers.
It's I'm not
like,
5'7".
Yeah.
I wonder who's going to get invited at Thanksgiving dinner, you know? Like,
ooh,
that's cool.
Is he going to have one? He's going to be pissed at the holiday schedule. It's about to be like not fun for Pulisic because at Germany, they don't do that. They take the 2 weeks off. Over Christmas.
That's right.
So he's going to be like,
Oh, he's ready for that.
Every 3 days, I'll have a game until
like,
the
Mom,
end
Dad,
of time.
You're going to have to come to England for Christmas.
And then there's international break. Like, kill me, for real.
I think there just needs to be a bit of context applied to him as well.
Yeah.
I thought when he got there, I thought, well, if you look at the wingers they've got, it was Callum Hudson-Odoi, Mount, who sort of floats between the two, Willian and Pedro. Yeah. So they're all either established Chelsea players that Frank Lampard knows and will want the influence of in the dressing room, or young guys that every Chelsea fan is desperate to see play. And then Christian's in the middle, sort of neither one nor the other, wasn't signed by Frank. So I just thought, well, just be a bit patient. He's only a young guy. If he was 26, 27, I'd be a bit more concerned. But give it a few weeks, he scored a few goals, he'd be fine.
Yeah, he's doing great. I mean, to have his first hat trick be his also the first day he scored at all
is
a blast. Also, watching Chelsea play, I mean, this pains me to say, it's so fun. They're really young. They have, like, no sense of... like failure, you know what I mean? Like, there's no failure weighing on their shoulders. Like watching
they're not
Spurs
afraid
play,
to make mistakes.
No, because they don't feel like they don't feel the weight of the world on their shoulders. They literally look like they're just playing for fun, which is a rarity these days. Like, there's nothing at stake for them. I don't think they're trying to win the league. They would like to finish top four. I'm sure they would, but they're not. That's not the mentality. There's no pressure. Yeah. And I think Frank Lampard might have lifted that off of them and just been like, you guys are young, just fucking go show the world how fun you are and
sounds
good you
like
are.
Lampard.
Watching Spurs play is like watching people who are headed for the chair. Like, they literally look... How do you make Son look miserable? Like, cheers, Son is crying. Like, you literally make them look like they're having the worst day of their lives every time they step foot on their new stadium pitch.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's my rant. I agree with you. I think we just give him a moment.
Yeah.
Newcastle versus Bournemouth. Did you see Yedlin's goal?
I did.
Screamer.
That was a sick goal.
Another American rising to the top with the headers, guys. Yeah. I always liked him.
He just kept running. And
he just kept running.
Head.
And basically. Yeah. But you guys won. You beat Bournemouth.
No, I thought it was a good game. It's just the fact that Bruce has gone back to what Rafa was doing last season. I think John Hudson sort of alluded to that a few weeks ago. Sort of, if it's not broke, then don't try and fix it. He's made tweaks to his credit. Yedlin was not that far advanced last season. Mm-mm. He would not have scored that goal. But the overall structure of a back three with wing-backs, midfielders that can run, and then that front three, which can't score a goal, but it's great to watch.
Go for it.
Like three dogs in a park just running around a tennis ball. It's just great to watch.
Dying.
It's how you accommodate him and Dest. That's my curiosity now. I don't know how you keep both, because they're very different. Dest is a lot more technical.
Yes.
I've never seen a fullback with like just that much sauce, to use a word I don't use very often, if ever. But how you accommodate both, I've got no idea.
I mean, it's not looking like Greg Berhalter cares much for Yedlin. He doesn't call him up all that much.
Yeah, it's just his athleticism. It's brilliant.
It is.
You can't...
I've always been a fan of him. I think what we're struggling with... We're struggling with centre backs anyway. That's a whole different... I don't know what we're going to do. Anyway, Tottenham played Sheffield United. end tied again.
Yep.
1-1.
Do you want to take a seat on the couch and tell us how that was?
Why are we like this? Why do we always go up 1-0? I didn't even celebrate our goal. I was like, we're going to not win this, so it doesn't matter. Wow. I have the same weight on my shoulders those players carry.
Wow.
Son scored, then nothing good happened. There's like a stupid VAR controversial decision. I don't even want to talk about it.
Of course.
I don't care. VAR, whatever. Good. Fine. VAR. I hate it. I don't care. Let's
Pochettino,
move.
Are you...
I saw this fake Twitter. It was like to gauge fan reaction. That was like breaking news. Poch sacked direct like after tie to Sheffield United, and my heart like sank.
Aww.
And my stomach. I felt sad and sick, and I was like, okay, I still want him to be our coach.
Okay, that's good.
But I don't know if that's my. I don't know if that's gonna happen just because it's what I want. But I know I'll be upset.
I hope it doesn't happen.
I don't see a. clear
that
natural
sound supportive in any of that yeah.
I don't see a clear natural next person like successor so I think we would be absolutely shambolic to do like it'd be stupid to do that, but there's no one that could come in and do a better job than he's currently doing that's available.
Yes, that's
that's available. I don't want Mourinho to coach the Tottenham Hotspurs.
You don't want Mourinho?
I do not. I don't think our attitude adjustment would be would benefit from the negativity that man brings to the table. I stand Mourinho.
He'd tap into that Spursiness of two decades and transform it. He loves an underdog story, Mourinho. He loves it.
If it's I heard he's headed for Arsenal. That's what everyone keeps saying.
Even them. He will tap into it. Oh, everyone thinks we're losers. Let's show them. He loves that kind of thing.
He does.
I know, but he also
that's his MO.
Easily has the locker. Like, the dressing room turns on him so fast. Like, every team I've seen him coach has turned on him immediately and been like, after a year.
Yeah, no, give him a 2-year contract. That's it.
Yeah, someone once compared him to Cleopatra. I think that's a good...
Oh,
he has a lot of sort of, if you'll pardon the analogy, has a lot of lovers that last short times, intense.
It was intense.
It delivers something.
It was a good affair, but it had to end quickly.
He also
nothing lasts forever, you know.
Leicester City are still killing it. They murdered Arsenal 2-0. We love the Foxes. James Maddison had a sick goal. Yeah. And that's all I have to say about that. We love Vardy.
Yeah.
Oh, party, also, there have been a lot of memes about the field, the pitch at King... I'm sorry, where they play? Power...
King Power.
I guess the groundsman is doing some elaborate shit with the pitch, and it's...
He's
congrats
creative.
To him.
Good
yeah,
job,
he deserves
man.
A raise.
Do you know Jamie Vardy's pre-match routine?
No.
Three cans of Red Bull.
Red Bull, yeah.
Yeah. Goes to bed with a glass of port as well.
In 2012, wasn't he playing like non-league football?
Yeah,
he's the best.
I interviewed the chairman of that club, Stocksbridge Park Steels, and a teammate at the time a little bit further up, and they said, oh no, his game didn't change at all. But for a period, he had to wear an electronic tag because he was done for assault. He said he was defending a friend who was being abused. But the tag meant that he had to be in the house, I think, by 4:30 every day. And so their games didn't finish until after that, so they always had to bring him off. And they said 1 week they couldn't get him off in time. So it got to the point where literally someone just booted it out. He launched himself over the fence into a waiting car and sort of drove off like Elvis Presley. It's insane.
Because he had an ankle bracelet on.
Yeah, just because he had an
unbelievable story. Yeah. Jamie Vardy, wow.
Wow.
Think anything can happen. We're going to speed this up. Wolves versus Aston Villa, 2-1. Great free kick from Jimenez. It was a one-touch ball. Great.
Yeah, I'd expect them to win that one.
Good job, Wolves. Anyway, Manchester United beat Brighton 3-1. I got that wrong. 3-1. Rashford negged someone, and it's all over the internet. Congratulations. Also missed a wide-open shot.
Yeah, that was...
So pleased for him.
Yeah, we love a Meg. Liverpool versus Man City. This was the best game of the weekend. Most entertaining. And the most entertaining matchup of theirs I've seen in a while. Since the 4-3 game, which I also loved.
Yeah, I thought this would be a higher score.
Because last year, remember, they faced each other 0-0, and I was like, is this what we're going to... And then Mahrez missed that fucking penalty, and that was it. So this one was fun. Controversial lack of VAR for the Alexander-Arnold handball. What do we think? Do we think it was a handball?
Yes.
He definitely, his arm definitely was like,
definitely was a handball.
Then
do you like VAR or not?
I like it.
I think it's fine. I'm tired. I'm tired, dude. I just like, whatever. Let's just do it. This is how it is now.
I just think it needs to be refined. Tweaks. Yeah, but I think it's
It
good.
Is going to be.
Yeah, sure.
But the thing is, there's a lack of consistency across the board. Some referees take 10 minutes to review a call. Some take 10 seconds. And so it's like, let's have just like a very regimented version of this where there are clear, we all are on the same page as referees, and let's all get on the same page about what constitutes a handball, what constitutes a foul, because everything is so based on one person. It's so subjective at this point. It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
I think I think that we can't call handballs on stuff like that because his arm wasn't in a completely unnatural position.
Right.
Like, he was still running and turning back. Like, where are you supposed to put your arm? And if we, and I know that the rule has changed so that if the ball touches anyone's arm,
mm-hmm.
it's automatically not either not a goal or a handball.
Mm-hmm.
But then what's to stop a striker from just kicking the ball at someone's arm?
Yeah, I remember a manager having that complaint.
So it's sort of, I think with that, I think the biggest, the most egregious thing that happened there was that Aguero just stopped playing, ran up to the referee, and was like, nah, nah, nah. And then, of course, they had a counter, and it was a great counter. And Fabinho scored a gorgeous goal off the worst clearance I've ever seen. It was almost like they teed him up for it. Yeah. Who was that? Was it Stones? It was one of the back line. Terrible.
Play to the whistle, guys.
Play the whistle. What are you, yeah. five? It's just like what happened to Barcelona last year where they were complaining that it wasn't a corner kick and Liverpool took that corner kick anyway and they lost because they weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really fair.
That Alexander-Arnold switch to Jordan to Henderson, whose cross to Salah was like some of the most beautiful football I've seen in a really long time. Oh, my God. I was like,
that's
tingly.
Been their game this season.
Yeah.
It's switching the play from
set. The fullback switch so with so much ease. And, like, so much confidence. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love watching them
They
play.
Definitely practice that on the training ground, like, day in, day out.
Also, Mane's diving header was very nice.
The beauty of Trent Alexander-Arnold is he started as a central midfielder. So he has that technical ability. The same of Andy Robertson as well when he was at Celtic. He was a central midfielder that got moved outside.
Yeah.
So that element, I'd say, is a little bit fortuitous that they just happen to have fullbacks that started as central midfielders.
Yeah.
But the way they do it is absolutely brilliant. I think it's unrivaled. Alexander-Arnold, for me, it's I would say Beckham-esque technical ability that we're watching from a fullback.
I have not truly noticed him until recently and been like, oh, because, you know, a lot of the conversation has been about Salah, Mane, like the top Firmino, and then maybe like Van Dijk.
Yeah.
Right? And then like Alisson, because all these major signings. But really, I think like Alexander-Arnold, Fabinho, and Henderson are like carrying that team as far as like the connection between the back line and the front three. It's so
That's beautiful. The dig you give Guardiola as well, is that he hasn't brought through an Alexander-Arnold. He's got Phil Foden, but he just keeps him in this glass case of, you can play Oxford. You can play in the League Cup, but we're just going to ease you in. And
you're not ready to take on Liverpool.
I agree.
And if he's not playing for the first team, he's not playing for the under-23s either. And that, for me, from an English perspective, is a major issue we have, is that a lot of our talented guys get stuck in this bubble of, I'm not playing first team, I'm not playing under-23s, so I'm not playing, period. So I'm not getting better, which is part of the problem.
And this is a crucial time to like be developing to get to that stage, absolutely. City were completely off. I feel like it was Liverpool's game to lose from the beginning. Aguero cannot score at Anfield. What the fuck, dude? I feel like there were some sitters for him at least once or twice. Some crosses in. We talked about Raheem Sterling lost his confidence his patience at one point. I don't think that was a penalty, by the way. The tiny little like Mane shove. It's just was too much.
The thing with Anfield as well is, though, I can't think of many grounds where you can just get caught up in a tornado like that, where you concede one and it's just like being punched in the face. The team just wobble. And City saw it in the 4-3 that you talked about.
I love that.
There's that 10-15 minutes where you just can't seem to get your feet back together, and they score again and again. And they did it to Barcelona as well.
It's
an ability I haven't seen at many, if any, other clubs. And I think it's why they're so successful, is they know when to just put the pedal down. And it just kills teams off in a way that you can't get back from.
It is. The atmosphere does seem... I mean, I could do without some of the boos, Liverpool. Like, enough, guys. Like, we get it. I understand when a team boos someone that's, like, a shitty person or has said something shitty, or, like, there's a problem, right? There's a specific rivalry. But just, like, booing anytime a Man City player has the ball, like, all right, leave Claudio Bravo alone. You know what I mean? He's had a tough week. He doesn't need this from you guys. He already had a tough life, basically, at this point. Like, my guy cannot catch a break. I feel so bad for that guy. Yeah. He's so humble. He has been totally cool with taking a backseat to Ederson and just helping train him and like being there for the team, and he's just been put in the worst situations back to back, and this was his first start in how long, and just like for this to be the start, and like none of those goals were really his fault, but it's just gonna reflect poorly on him, right? It's just a shitty situation. Standings are as follows. Liverpool has 34 points, Leicester are in second place with 26 points, Chelsea are in third place with 26 points, and Man City are in fourth place with 25 points.
Wow.
Then we've got Sheffield in fifth.
Way to go.
Arsenal in sixth, and Manchester United in seventh, and Tottenham seven places below them in 14th.
So we just skipped 8, 9, 10. We just skipped that?
Skipped who?
Eighth, ninth,
10th. I'm just, who else do you 11. Want to talk about? I don't have all day. You said you have to leave at 3:10. It's 3:04, bro. We have a lot to cover.
But like Crystal Palace should get their deserved mention, you know what I'm saying?
I honestly don't have time for you. You can leave. We can continue. Chris and I have really good rapport. Let's take the channel really quick and live La Liga Loca. Okay. Yeah, Barcelona versus Celta Vigo. They won 4-1. I only want to talk about Messi's hat trick because he scored 2 free kicks, 1 in each half.
Not impressed.
What?
It's a free kick.
What do you mean?
I expect him to do that now. It's like if he has a free kick and he doesn't score, that's a highlight.
The thing is, like, you're ruining football. Like, you're the problem.
Right? Didn't they just bring up stats the other day that like most converted free kicks in like the top 5 leagues in the past couple seasons, it's Messi.
Yes.
At like 30 something.
Yeah, so he's masterful at it. You still have to be impressed.
No. Sorry, I'm not. I just expected it at this point.
You're the reason. I'm going to get you a shirt that just says the problem.
The problem. Why do we keep talking about it?
Because what I'm saying is that, like, why do we keep talking about it? Because the people like Messi and Ronaldo, and people just have these expectations for them. And then because they're so prolific, they match them. And then, like, if people just don't hit those stats, they're just automatically not impressive at all. And these stats are no longer considered impressive. Back in the day, like, a hat trick was a huge fucking deal. Hmm. Like, to score 3 in a game, it should still be a big deal. And to score 2 free kicks is amazing. I just think it's very impressive. 10 years ago, we would have all been stunned by this stat. And now we're all just like, whatever.
Yeah, it's...
No!
Sorry.
It's not the evolution of the game. What are you supposed to expect? 5 goals from someone a game now?
No. I just expect them to, you know, get other kinds of goals.
What, you want a perfect hat trick? He scored 2 free kicks?
Yes, that is impressive.
By what definition, though?
That left foot, right foot header. Yeah.
Okay, because the Germans consider it has to be all in the same half as well.
The Germans also do this with their threes as opposed to this, okay?
If he does that, totally. Like, you know, all in the same half, yeah. But 2 free kicks?
I have nothing to say about Germany other than that. I have nothing to say about... I don't care about Real Madrid. I don't care about PSG. Whatever, guys. Let's move on to our own
backyard. Well, yeah. There's nothing going on in America, France, dude. Yeah.
Our own backyard. The MLS Cup final was this past Sunday.
It's
were you
really
there?
The only game to talk about. But, you know, at this undisclosed location, the owner of this place...
Was there. Were you also there, Chris?
Yeah.
No, you did not go to Seattle. It was at CenturyLink Field. Toronto lost. Seattle Sounders won 3-1. Goals by Leerdam, Rodriguez, and Ruidíaz.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ruidíaz.
Not a great Latina am today. Josie scored in the 93rd minute. Too late, my guy. Supporter section parade to the stadium. Excellent.
Yeah.
We love it.
Fireworks. Loved it. Pyro. Loved it.
I'm literally cackling over this being the winner of the MLS Cup. Like, no one talked about Seattle all year. People just write off Brian Schmetzer. They're just like...
No one talked about this game, like, all week.
That also.
Yeah.
This was not what MLS wanted.
No, they wanted LAFC Atlanta.
No, they want LAFC NYCFC. You know that that's what...
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah.
Seattle are kind of to MLS Cup what Real Madrid were to the Champions League for a few years.
Yeah.
You can't always explain it. Like, I mean, to be fair, the LAFC performance was brilliant. They just... Perfect away performance. But a lot of the times you think, well... How are they so great? Because they do seem to suck for large periods of a season or a portion of the season. You can't work out why. And Schmetzer, by his own admission, said, I'm not a great coach, which I'm like, it's odd. He to me, is not the most charismatic person in the world.
Yeah.
But he seems to be able to get something out of these players, and they seem to just keep going and going. I'm not too sure how
they're good at just that one final push.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I mean, they don't spend a lot of money. Like, Seattle doesn't play by the game of, like, get those aging...
What
like
do you mean?
They don't grab, like, the stars. They don't take up a ton of DP space. They just make smart acquisitions and just...
Yeah, I guess whatever is in their...
I mean, there were really... Other than, like, what, control. Jordan Morris? Yeah. Like, who's the star on Seattle's team? Like, the name recognition, the household name.
on currently on that team?
Yeah, on the team.
Oh.
No one. I can't Jordan think of Morris? Jordan Morris, but that's not even...
That's possibly part of their beauty as well, is that Nicolas Ladero is this humble, just master of all, sort of, I'll tackle, I'll... And he never seems phased. It's one thing when you watch 10s, because I'm a big fan of number 10s, because they're slowly dying out of the game, sadly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the time, if they make mistakes, a bad one will go right inside themselves, and will not ask for the ball, and will not... He just doesn't give a shit, to be frank. No. He's just like, no, give me the ball again, I'll pass it again. And he keeps going, he's relentless, whereas Pozuelo on the other side had a lot more of the ball... But just for period seemed to just... He was involved, but he wasn't doing much at the same time. Whereas, to be fair to Ladero, he always seems to be doing something to benefit the team.
It's so scrappy. I watched these games. I watched that City-Liverpool game back to back and then went to this one and I was like, what's going on here? It's just so scrappy. It's so runny and so like messy, but it's fun. It's still fun. The atmosphere is great. The record-breaking crowd at CenturyLink, biggest crowd for a sporting event ever there, 69,724.
Solid.
Sold out in 30 minutes. I mean, there's definitely an audience for it. Sierra was lit. She was her first win as an owner, partial owner. Macklemore performed, also partial owner. Go. Weird owners over there at Seattle, but happy for them.
Kelsey Grammer was the only Seattle native missing, I assume.
Is Drew Carey still involved?
I believe he is,
there you go, Drew
Carey.
Weirdest
people own soccer teams. Will Ferrell owning LAFC will never stop being random to me.
That's odd.
Your boy has 2 minutes.
All right, well, let's move on. Let's go to female intended play. Oh, wait, really quick. Dax McCarty is officially going to Nashville FC.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Happy for Dax. We love him.
Seems happy about it, too.
So much warmer and probably just a better experience altogether. Chicago's a mess.
It's a hot mess out there.
A mess. Let's go to female intended play.
We got 4 stars on our shirt. We got 4 stars on our shirt. We got 4 stars on our shirt.
This coming Sunday is the first women's North London derby. It's going to be lit.
Yes.
We're excited. We're going to watch it because this is the only Spurs team I can stand to watch right now. The U.S. women's national team played Sweden.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And
Lloyd.
Carly Lloyd saw her moment. She was like, I got to make that team in Tokyo. Alex Morgan's pregnant. So she jumped out. 2 goals and an assist in 31 minutes. Sick chip. Revenge for 2016 Olympics. Brokenhearted me, which was that I still carry that game with me. I know the Olympics don't matter at the end of the day, but.
No, yeah, they do.
I was upset. I was upset, guys.
You mean in
a
soccer capacity, or?
Yeah. Not to the same level.
It matters to us, and that's what matters.
Yeah, I would say that.
Thank you, guys. I feel supported. I carry that. There's a couple losses you carry with you, and that's one of them. U.S. women's national team also took on Costa Rica and won 6-0. Honestly, I didn't even write down who scored. Everyone scored.
Wait, we won?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, my fiance
6-0.
So
you say
she what?
My fiance is Costa Rican, so this stings.
Oh, sorry, Tika. Yeah.
We don't Ticos. Know.
Well, I'm sorry.
You sound sorry. That's really fucking sincere.
At the result, right? Not that she's Costa.
No, no, yeah. The result, yeah.
We like Costa Rican.
6-0.
She's had a tough couple of years too. They didn't make the World Cup.
Yeah.
Tough times for everyone. Mm. You hate to see it. That was our last game of 2019. So on to 2020.
Okay.
New era, new coach. Let's see. I have no more news. Just do a little bit of house cleaning. We did have a recent giveaway with a Chelsea kit. But what kit should we give away next? If you had to choose, not a Newcastle kit. We don't have any Newcastle fans listening.
John Joe Shelby kit.
Juve's kit's quite nice, no?
Maybe we shouldn't even do a kit. We'll have to brainstorm.
Something
maybe we
else.
Do something else.
Something general.
Because you talked about wanting mass appeal, didn't you?
I don't want Ronaldo supporters listening to this. Specifically.
Yeah,
I don't want them around me.
Case pending,
Case pending. Yeah.
Anyway.
We need to get that judge.
We'll brainstorm on that.
We know the truth.
Where can people find you, Chris?
On Twitter at KHENEAGE. Is where I'm
His Twitter's lit. It's got like 20K followers.
Yes.
We have like 280. We're like, woohoo! We
Yours
tweet
are a lot
to the
more
masses.
Active than mine are just critiques.
And they can find your writing across.
Yeah, all places that pay on time. That's usually where I try and work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well
now
said.
I'll be able to look those up and
well
see
said.
Who pays on time.
I'll
I
just
like
DM
that.
Them. Did you pay this guy already?
Did
All right,
you pay
cool.
Him?
I'll read your stuff.
Okay. You guys can find us at FKWPod on Twitter, at FullKitWankersPod on Instagram, and we have a super secret Facebook page where mostly Niall posts hot takes about the Red Bulls, but it's going to grow.
I mean, he's the
Sean
first one
post.
That...
We have to invite Chris. He'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
He's got the banter. He's got it going. Guys, don't forget, you've got subs if you need them, and Steven really has to go.
I really
got to
run.
It's 3 p.m. In the afternoon. I was extremely late. My B, thank you so much for coming, Chris.
My pleasure.
Thanks,
thank
Chris.
Thanks,
yeah, playoff music. What are you excited for in this international break?
The U.S. against Canada, of course.
Oh, my God. What's going to happen? We're going to win.
Tie. Yeah. And that's an amount.
Get out of here. No one cares. This is playoff music.
I'm officially a full kit wanker and I do what I like!